Michelle Robineau from Dragon's Den is joining us on the line to talk business and, of course, the hit CBC show. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, it's great to be here.
Well, thanks for joining us. First off, I have to ask, how often is your name misspelled?
Oh, all the time. I mean, my parents forgot the second L in Michelle. I'm like, guys, this is too much. I actually have a funny story about this. So,
okay.
You know, how everyone's texting these days, I get this text message from my dad, of all people, who is like, Michelle, and he misspelled my name incorrectly. And I was like, Dad, you gave me this name. Like, you can't do this. But I realized that everyone is voice dictating into their phone now. And so that's why it was misspelled.
Okay, all right. And secondly, now, you know, I've asked everyone that we've had on the show from Manjeet to Kevin O'Leary, Robert Herjavec, Barbara Corcoran, how often are you approached with business ideas? Can you go anywhere without anybody stopping you?
Oh, no, I get pitched everywhere. I get pitched in bathroom stalls. I get pitched on airplanes. It doesn't matter. But I love it. I mean, I love building and investing in businesses, so I never have a problem with hearing people's ideas.
Are some of them, like, actually legitimate? Have you ever sort of done a deal or pursued something when approached?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I get lots of, great ideas that I've heard from random places. So, no, you can source great deals from anywhere. I'm certainly not biased to that.
I'll shoot you an email after this then, okay? No.
Sounds good.
You know, this is a really cool season of Dragon's Den. You've got some special episodes coming up, and I always love when family businesses come on and pitch, and it's great seeing parents encourage their children to get into business, but what are your thoughts on working with a family? I don't know that I could do it, but what do you think?
Your co-founders always become your family, inevitably. And
yeah.
So, you know, I had a co-founder for 10 years. She was my closest friend. I now work today with my life partner, Andrew, and so I'm in business with my partner. It inevitably, like, you just spend so much time with these people. It's actually kind of amazing to do business with people you love. That being said, you have to figure out a couple of different things, and probably the biggest thing is how to spend time apart, because inevitably, you know, like, if you're in a relationship as a couple, you know, you need to plan date night and you need to plan time together. On the other hand, when we spend all of our time together, we actually need to do the reverse, where we need to plan to spend at least a little bit of time apart, but we actually just get sick of each other.
Right. Well, there you go. And you can't quit family. That's the thing too, right?
You cannot quit family. But I've seen lots of successful businesses built by siblings, built multi-generationally. So this is always one of my favorite episodes of the season.
Would you say there is an age limit? Because I almost worry that it would be like kids getting into sports. As soon as the parents make it too serious, then it's not fun for the kids. So in this regard, you know, being part of the family business venture, is there a certain age where you think it's okay to start grooming the kid? Maybe they're just kind of watching from the sidelines at the beginning and then helping out every once in a while? What would be your recommendation?
You know, I don't think there's any hard and fast rules for when the right time is. I mean, I've seen, you know, I think teaching kids about business really early, like not in a strenuous way, but, you know, making them kind of clean up and stock shelves and figure out how a product is made and run around. You know, I remember spending a lot of time, you know, in the office with my dad on the weekend and just kind of, you know, learning how to play business. So I think it's really not about being strenuous, but teaching kids about that early is pretty amazing.
What industries are you not seeing enough of on Dragon's Den? Like, one that comes to mind is agriculture. Like, is that still fairly represented? I often worry about the family farms.
Yeah, you know, I think that the farming has become much more larger in scale, and so we've lost a lot of that magic around family farms. We haven't seen enough of those, but we are seeing some creativity from lots of different pitches. I can remember, these sisters from Saskatchewan a few seasons ago who had come up with, you know, different chickpea products, and they had grown up on a special type of farm, and they had figured out how to, you know, make the products more valuable. And it's one of, you know, the incredible things is that we have to not just produce the products as an agriculture business in Canada, but actually bring them to their finished CPG kind of product. And we haven't done enough of that historically. And so I think we're starting to see a lot more pitchers that are not just talking about, you know, producing the raw goods, but actually bringing them to their kind of full state. So I think there was one this season on bison, jerky. Like, there's a couple really cool ones we've seen from the farm.
What are your thoughts on people coming in, and when they do their pitch, they say that, you know, a certain percentage of our profits or whatever are going to charity? I appreciate that. I applaud them for doing that. But do you think that they're almost doing that just to get that public, you know, that good PR image?
Yeah, I mean, look, there's something about doing a good business and treating your people and your producers right that's just good for business. And so certainly that there has been social enterprises that have done really well, but if not done in a genuine way, it does and can feel a little bit gimmicky. And so I always encourage businesses to focus on like a single cause, something that's really aligned with their mission, and make that. I mean, at ClearBank, like, we exist, you know, by founders, for founders. We want to be, you know, the most affordable form of growth capital. And so the charities that we support are all, is actually RISE, the charity that helps people with mental health start a business. And so it's very, very aligned with, not something we spend a lot of time advertising, but I think it makes a lot of sense with our mission.
Is there a type of business you won't invest in? You know, we've seen some dragons take a stand against, you know, guns or drug companies, also because it reflects on their other businesses. But is anything off limits for you?
I like businesses where you can build online and technology scale. So when you don't have to worry about, you know, oh, are you in 20 stores and 100 stores and, you know, 1,500 stores? Like, I like, it's like, okay, can we get the whole world to know about this product right away?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's not generally frozen or perishable products. And that's stuff that is a little bit borderless. But no, I've been really creative in terms of all industries, and I don't like to have rules, because I think, you know, if you have rules, you should be breaking them anyways, because that's what, like, businesses are changing. Again, you know, a couple of years ago, cannabis wasn't an industry, and today it's a massive part, it's a massive industry in Canada.
You mentioned that business is changing. Do you find that these days education, and I don't know if I'm going to ask this the right way, is a formal business education as important as having the drive to go into business? Obviously, we've seen people marketing themselves on social media and making a business out of that. What are your thoughts on a formal business education nowadays?
You know, I think that you really need, like, a GSD. I call it, like, the Get Shit Done degree. And that is way more valuable than a formal business education. And so, you know, I did an MBA. I don't think it was the most valuable thing I did. I think engineering was way more valuable. If you're just going to take school for one thing, I would do it for science and engineering versus business, because you can learn a lot. Some of the best entrepreneurs I've met, you know, graduated high school. And so it's really much more about being clever and being determined and just being so resilient versus having a formal business education.
And one of the best ways to learn is from mistakes that either we've made or that we've seen others make. Can you give maybe one or two biggies that you've experienced and encountered that have stuck with you and made you grow as a business person?
Oh my gosh, I've made countless mistakes. You know, we had to try so many different businesses until we got something that worked. And so, you know, I remember, even when we were running Bytopia, I mean, we were running tons of little experiments. I mean, we built a whole competitor to Uber Eats, couldn't make that work. A whole competitor to, like, the software scheduling industry, couldn't make that work. But it was actually through, like, trying three or four things that didn't work that led to our big innovation behind SnapSaves, which ended up being the company that was acquired by Groupon. And so every one of those, you have to put a project forward, you know, see what's not. There's always a little part that is working. So you take the little part that's working, you double down on that, and you kind of get rid of everything else. And that's been the process largely of creating big innovations in this world. I mean, people forget that. You know, Airbnb didn't start out as the largest hotel chain in the world. They started out, you know, thinking that they could rent a place at a stranger's house when conference hotels were sold out. And so there is, you know, never underestimate the fact that a little failure can put you a long way.
I know the dragons are always asked, you know, what's the best deal you ever made on the show, the worst deal you ever made? What's the one deal that either got away because the entrepreneur walked away, or maybe another dragon got it?
Oh, you know, I always call that the game of, like, shoulda, coulda, woulda. Mm-hmm. And we can all play that game in our lives, and it always ends in one thing, which is depression.
Yeah.
There's, you know, countless opportunities I've missed from, I don't know, buying pre-IPO Facebook shares, so, like, tons of different things. I can actually remember one business on the show. I'm not even sure this one went to air, but the guy had created a new type of bacteria to make sure that like perishable meat products didn't have, like, had a longer shelf life. And he was a food scientist, and I just thought it was such a cool pitch. But he was kind of one that I think about, and I wonder about how that business did today.
Okay, and finally, one, I have to have a fun question in here. It's Saturday night, hockey night in Canada. Maybe you're watching it, let's say, at Boston Pizza. Which dragon are you calling to come and have a drink with you? And you can't say Jim just because it'll be comped.
Oh my gosh, I love, it's like children. I love my coasters equally. But, you know, I probably saw Vince most recently and he's a riot to hang out with, so I'd invite Mr. Guzzo over with me.
All right, well, we're going to be watching Dragon's Den on CBC. Michelle, when can we catch the show?
Yeah, Thursdays at 9 o'clock.
All right, Michelle Romano, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.